Love without friendship is like a shadow without the sun. Dr. Herbert O'Reilly, Dean of the University of Healing, with the thought for today. Love without friendship is like a shadow without the sun. That's a Japanese proverb. Love without friendship is like a shadow without the sun. In other words, there can be no shadow unless there is light to cast the shadow. And there can be no love unless there's friendship to cast the light of the love, or the love to cast the light on the friendship, or whatever it is. It's fun to confuse ourselves with statements like this that sound so apropos to everything, and they're apropos to nothing. Here on the campus, we know that we're in a school, and I constantly give little illustrations to train us in ways that will be beneficial to us. And constantly these little illustrations are made into rather monstrous academic illustrations, which take away the entire attitude of the learning situation that it's available. Like, for instance, Engiborg, where is San Francisco?
San Francisco? I know that.
According to what I have told you, where is San Francisco?
It's south of San Diego.
Thank you, ma'am. I don't give a hoot and holler in hell what you know. I just said San Francisco is south of San Diego, and I want you to be able to say San Francisco is south of San Diego without discussing it, without arguing it, without saying that's illogical, that's unreasonable. Because, you see, you are sick. Now you say, but I'm not sick, I'm well. No, you're sick, because I look at you and I see you're sick. Would you like me to do that? Would you like me to make a statement and have you respond to it in its contrary form, rather than just say, okay, I'm sick, you know. You know you're not sick. You know it's not bothering you, but you're untouched by it. You're untouched by it. And I do my very best to teach you these untouchability, one-pointedness, unpossessed, and non-judgmental aspects, you know. But no, you want to be logical about it. You want to be logical. Ellen, go out there and take those toothpicks out of the holes for the little hummingbirds. You want to be logical about it. And because you want to be logical about it, what are you doing? You're missing the point. You're missing the point that you are untouched by all of these attitudes, by all these aspects, by all these training experiences. I say to you, Ingeborg, your husband called on the phone and said that he wants to send you $1 million. And your first impression would be, my God, where did he get $1 million? Well, don't think that. Just say, wonderful. Wonderful. Just as though it's the most logical thing in the world that your husband would send you $1 million. Now, you see, when you learn this, then you're learning untouchability. Now, I told you all that I don't like one little hummingbird to go out there and chase all the other hummingbirds away from the water, the sweet water that's out there. And so I had you put toothpicks in the hole so the hummingbird could not draw upon the sweetness, and none of the others could either. And then your discussion became such a beautiful academic bunch of garbage when you started to say, well, you know, it could be the mating season that they're pushing things away. It could be that this, that, and it could be that, and it could be. You're not supposed to make a judgment on the things I offer you. When I say, don't let them do that, put the toothpicks in there, and they're not to do it, you're not to make a big discussion of it. When I give you these ideas, I'm not giving them to you as a human response of talking back and forth, you know, because I do very little human talking with you. I do very little. I give you all of these different illustrations. Oh, I give you some human illustrations, but very few, very few. Sometimes it confuses you when I do it, but very few. If you really want to benefit from the school here, you'll realize that the illustrations come at a most unexpected time. They come when you least expect it. I say, now, I'm going to get angry at you. I'm going to get so angry at you, I'm going to swear at you and shout at you and scream at you and so forth. And then I change the subject. And I tell you, oh, Sylvia, you certainly put a lot of thought into the dinner tonight. You did a nice job. You gave it a lot of really wonderful thought. And Ellen, you were just a princess as you were working with the people today. You made them all feel they wanted to do more and more and more and charge us less and less and less for all the things they did. You're wonderful. And Ingeborg, you were just a princess as we were driving around the path, holding on to all that stuff as I was giving you Magoo's wild ride, and you were not at all offended by the fact that I was giving you a hard time. You weren't touched by it, you see. You're all a bunch of bird, blah, 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 and you know, oh my gosh, what is that outburst? What is that outburst? And then, of course, I continue with the outburst, and I start telling you, you know, you never listen to, you never, blah, 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 you know. And if you're touched by that, if you're touched by that, then you go on ahead and get yourself a job outside. Get yourself a living in the world. Read the newspapers. Oh, my goodness, read the newspapers. And find out all of the terrible things that are going on in the world. All of the ugly things that are going on. Find out how mean mankind is to mankind. And then you'll say, oh, I wish I had learned to be untouched. I wish I had followed the directions that Herb gave me to be, you know, spontaneously untouched and not knowing of being untouched, but just to be untouched. That the things that other people do in the world do not disturb me. Things that other people say in the world do not disturb me. People throw bricks at me and they never touch me, they never hurt me. Because I am invincible. I am invisible. I am untouchable. And when you come to that ability for yourself, wow. Gertrude was saying, Herb, you're making me sound and act so human, you know, that and yet you're saying that I'm so divine. Well, she is. She is divinely human. Now, she is untouched by the things that her children do, that her grandchildren do, that the world around her does. She just gets up there and does a beautiful job. When she sings in her gospel choir, she just gets up there and sings her heart out. She sings according to the notes that she's supposed to sing. But if somebody over here is not doing the right job, if somebody's off key, that doesn't disturb her. That doesn't disturb. Did she do her best? That's all that matters to Gertrude. You see, she's a master. She is living as a divine human. Now, what about you? If you were in a choir and you were giving your best and some other people in the choir were giving their best but not quite meeting the need, meeting the expectation. They sound like a scarecrow, you know. And their voice is out of tune, and their words are, they forgot the words, you know. And my goodness, you say, oh, they're ruining us, they're messing us up, they're destroying the choir. Well, thank you very much. You're making them destroy the choir. Nobody else hears them. The only thing anyone hears are the perfect voices of everyone giving their best. And when some person doesn't quite arrive at the expectation of the choir director, they don't even hear it. They turn it out. They don't even listen to it. They only hear what they want to hear. They only hear what they want to hear. Now, Sylvia has been a great aficionado of birds. And she loves birds. And she goes out with her special earphones and her spyglasses to check on birds. And she watches where the birds are. Well, now, she sees a bird off on a distant branch. And it's that yellow-bellied sapsucker that she's been wondering about. And she's been wondering where he went to and what his song is. So she takes her spyglasses and looks right at him. And he's big and bold right in the middle of her lens. And then she aims her microphone right at him. And she picks him up. Now, there are a dozen other birds singing their hearts out. And they're twiddling and tweedling, and she doesn't hear them. She hears her yellow-bellied sapsucker singing away. And she tunes into this because that's what she wants to hear. Now, does she hear the other yellow-bellied sapsuckers who are off-key or the other birds who are maybe singing a different harmony? No. She tunes into what she wants. Now, that's one-pointed. Now, someone can come along and say, Sylvia, did you hear the birds this morning? Oh, yes. Did you hear the choir and the chorus that they were singing? It was outstanding. It was more fantastic than any human voices I've ever heard. And Sylvia says, oh, I guess I must have missed it. I was concentrating on the yellow-bellied sapsucker, and I was listening to his song alone, and I missed all of the other melodies. And you see, this is what we do in life. We are judging the yellow-bellied sapsucker because that's what we're looking for, you know. And we're missing the great choir. And we're missing all of the things that it's doing. Not that that's wrong or right. That's being one-pointed, you know. And so, from one point of view, that's very good. But from another point of view, if someone says, Sylvia, did you hear the great choir of birds this morning? And Sylvie said, I heard the yellow-bellied sapsucker singing, and it was the most glorious song that I'd ever heard. I heard it from beginning to end as he gave his song and then repeated it and repeated it. Well, didn't you hear the other birds? I was enraptured by the yellow-bellied sapsucker. She doesn't say, I didn't hear the other birds. She doesn't say they were there. But you see, she did not tune in to those other birds because that was not where her consciousness was. Do you understand? When you can train yourself to be untouched, both when what you do and afterwards what you did, when people call you to task about it, not that you say, you're stupid, you know, I did my thing. No, no, you didn't do your thing. You concentrated on what you concentrated on, and that they heard this other choir, that's lovely. Another day you might choose to listen to the whole choir, and that's fine. But you see, you're learning to be untouched. You're learning to be one-pointed. We say here, love without friendship is like the shadow without a sun. When you have the sun, what is there? There's a limited shadow. You see yourself. And then when the sun becomes absolutely brilliant, blindingly brilliant, which it doesn't do, but it can, then you don't even see your shadow. When we turn up the rheostat on our light, we don't even see the shadow. And then we don't even see friendship. Because to be a friend means that you care about that person more than you care about others. And I would have you care about yourself, number one, first, as the most wonderful being on the earth. And then you care about all of your creation, whatever they may be, whoever they may be. Not separately, singularly, saying one is more beautiful than the other. You say, well, Herb, you're always talking about Gertrude. Well, because she writes letters to me and is in my consciousness. You could all write letters to me and be in my consciousness too, or talk, but whatever. The thing is, be the master of yourself and be untouched by the world around you. Because when you're touched by the world around you, then you're not the master. When you are the master, you create the world around you exactly the way it pleases you. Exactly the way it makes you the happiest. Now, if you're ready for that, then go for it. If you're not ready for that, then don't complain because somebody else is creating the world when you could have been doing it. Someone else created a war. Did you create peace? Someone else created problems. Did you create solutions? Somebody else created unhappiness. Did you create joy sublime? We can do these things. We can do these things, and wonderfully we can do these things. We want to be the sun that is so brilliant that it leaves no shadow, that it surrounds, enfolds, uplifts, endorses all that is good and beautiful. This is who we are. When you're ready for that experience, then you're ready to hear me say that San Francisco is south of San Diego. You're ready to have me say to you, did you know that they have just decided to move Switzerland to South Milwaukee in Wisconsin? And they're moving South Milwaukee over to Switzerland. And, of course, South Milwaukee is filled with a lot of Polish people and other people like that. Wouldn't that be interesting? So now Switzerland and its Alps are right in the middle of South Milwaukee. Can you imagine that? Wouldn't that be interesting? Now, if you discuss it, if you think of it, you say, well, Herb, it's illogical, unreasonable. Don't say that. Just say, yes, I could conceive of that. I could conceive of that. I can take that illustration, and I can say, that would be most interesting. I think that it would cause a new experience for the people of Milwaukee to have the Alps just south of them. It'd be a new experience for the people in Lake Michigan to have the Alpine lakes right around them. And it'd be a new experience for the people of Switzerland to be able to drive outside of Switzerland and come to Chicago and come to Iowa and come to the rest of the United States. Wouldn't that be? But you see, should that be a reality?
Nobody would realize it.
Nobody would realize that it was any different. They would just say, you know, America has so many beautiful things. Now, if you go to South Milwaukee, you'll find the whole Swiss community there. And if you go to the Swedish community up north in Minnesota, you know, the Norwegians, Swedish people up there, you know, they're beautiful. And if you go out west, you meet other types, you know. It's wonderful. Now, you don't find that strange at all. And that's why I say to you also, if you speak for yourself a spiritual healing, you will never know that you had been ill, and you'll never know that you now are well, because you'll never know that you had a problem. Can you conceive of such a thing taking place? As you take these irrationality that I give you, these ideas that seem so unrealistic, and as you live with them and visualize them and picture them, you will be able to change your whole attitude about your whole world and live in a rewarding, dynamic, fulfilled world that is just beyond your imagination, beyond your imagination. Now, are you ready for that? I'm ready for that. I'm ready to see you experience that, and I'm ready to see you experience it right now. So, you are the sun. Be so bright, there is no shadow. You are spiritual healing, and there's no remembrance of ever being ill, and all of the other things that you wish to think. So learn to be untouched, for that's what I teach you when I say San Francisco is south of San Diego, and Switzerland is now in South Milwaukee. I love you. I love you. I love you.